Joshua chapter 1. I want you to look with me at verse 1, if you will. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. I want you to notice a phrase in verse 11, about the middle of the verse. Joshua is speaking to the leaders of the people, and he says, Ye shall pass over. And tonight, if you're taking notes, I'd like to speak to you on this subject. Let us cross over. Let us cross over. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has taken the time to get alone with God. The most important thing anyone could do as they're preparing to lead others is to spend time with the Lord and get a message from the Lord. Perhaps the reason that people do not follow their leaders is because their leaders are not following the Lord. I know that in my own position of leadership, when I am effective as a leader, it is because I am crowding out the busyness and activities of life, and I am taking time to get a message from God. Joshua spent that time. He got a message from the Lord. And God told him, Joshua, you tell the people that Moses is dead, but I'm not dead, and we're going to cross over this river. Tonight, I would like for you to take a trip with me. I want you to camp with the children of Israel on the east side of the Jordan River. When I finish the message, I want you to stand there, and I want you to consider whether you in your own personal life tonight are going to cross over. Let us cross over is the subject tonight. Let us jump right in. Number one, the meaning of the crossing. What did this crossing mean? Turn back with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13. The meaning of the crossing. Kadesh Barnea is a place that all Christians should be familiar with. It's a place of great failure, and as we read in Joshua 1 and following, a place of also great success. It's one of those important places in Bible geography that ought to have a place in your heart and in your mind. I want you to look with me at Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and all these men were head of the children of Israel. So God is, these people are encamped in the exact same place that we read about in Joshua chapter 1. These events have taken place 40 years earlier, and God told them, pick out a man from each tribe, and that man from each tribe is to go and spy out the land, to give a report to the people. They were never supposed to spy whether the people were going to take the land. They were only supposed to go in and tell the people about the land. So God, in painstaking detail, gives the names of each of these men in the next several verses. You know the story well, that as those spies go in, they come back after 40 days and they give a report to God's people. They said to the people, "It's everything that God told us that it would be. It's everything God said it was. It's a wonderful place. It's true. But there are giants there." And 10 of those men came back and said, "We can't cross this Jordan. We just can't do it." And I wonder how many poor, pitiful Christians are living in the wilderness tonight because at some point in their life they came to the brink of everything God wanted to do in their lives and they said, "We just can't do it." Now, two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, "You're right, we can't do it, but God can do it." They were men of another spirit, the Bible says. I want that spirit. I want that another spirit. The people, though, listened to this evil report. They listened that they were as grasshoppers in the sights of these giants, and they did not go in. Look at chapter 14, verse 1, a heartbreaking verse. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." You say, why were they weeping? They were weeping because their dream died. Everything that these people were to face still had to be faced 40 years later by another generation of Christians. The same land to invade, the same enemy to defeat, the same river to cross. And now year after year, generation after generation, there are still enemies to be defeated, there is still ground to take for God, and there is still a river that must be crossed. There is still faith to be exercised. Some people have it, and some people don't. And these people standing at the absolute brink of everything that God wanted to do in their life looked at that river, they looked at the giants, they looked at the land, and they said, "We can't do it." And I want you to know, young people, that God has given you a river to cross. He's brought you to the brink this week. He's told you some things that He wants you to trust Him for and expect Him for and faith Him for. You are standing on the brink of the greatest opportunity of your life. And it will not matter how big the giants are. It will not matter how large the land is. The only thing that matters is if you have the faith to possess the land that God's already promised. Amen. See, folks, that land already belonged to them. God told it belonged to them. He treated it like it already belonged to Him. But they did not have the faith to possess what God had already promised. Right. What's the meaning of this crossing? Now turn with me, go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. What is the meaning of this? Sometimes in interpreting the scriptures, there can be some different interpretations about this. Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, God's going to tell the people exactly what it means to cross over Jordan. Now it doesn't mean going to heaven. I love some of those old songs, but that's not at all what it's talking about. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Hey, I like it. I sing it all the time. But that's not exactly what we're talking about here. Look what it says in Joshua 3, verse 10. "And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and, as one preacher said, the Electricites," all these ites. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't want to defeat and drive out seven warring nations. That's not my idea of heaven. This is not a picture of heaven. It's not a picture of death crossing the Jordan River. What does it mean? Crossing Jordan is a picture of the life that God intends for His people to live in the here and now. He had already promised them the land, but now they had to possess it by faith. And I'm wondering, as I read through this passage, how much does God have for Tyler Gillett that I have not possessed by faith? What does God have for you? Men, what does God have for your family? Children, what does God have for your parents? What does God have for this church or for this ministry that you have not yet taken by faith? The meaning of crossing the river, it means to take by faith what God has for us. You say, what happened to that generation that didn't cross over? What of the generation that gave in to fear instead of giving in to faith? What happened to those people? Well, you read in Numbers chapter 13 that for every day those spies were in the land, they spent a year in captivity, wandering in the wilderness. It was the longest funeral in history. For 40 years, they were waiting for all but two souls to die. He's saying, those Christians didn't die right away. No, they still filled their life up. They still filled their lives with activities, with hobbies. There's lots of murmuring and complaining and sinning and a few victories. You can check it out in the last half of Numbers. They were still busy. They didn't die all at once. And I find there are a lot of Christians who have stood on the same brink that they stood on that didn't go in and claim by faith what God wanted them to claim. And they didn't die right away. They're still filling their lives with activities, with hobbies, with habits. In fact, the people that do not live by faith are often the busiest of people. It's often as if they're filling up their lives with so many things so they can crowd out the thought that they have not taken everything that God wants them to take. Are you listening? Their lives were full, but they were empty. And as I've traveled in churches across America and been in the ministry now for a little while, I've met a lot of Christians whose lives are full, but their hearts are empty because they will not claim by faith what God wants them to claim. Do you know what I'm looking for in a youth ministry? You know what I'm looking for in a group of teenagers? You know what I'm looking for in my addicts in RU on Friday night? I'm looking for a group of people that have a hunger and a thirst to claim everything that God has for them. We need some Christians that are ready to start possessing what God has already promised us. The victory is ours. God is waiting for us to fight and waiting for us to win. May I encourage you tonight? Let us cross over. Let us cross over. Now, if we're going to Canaan, we're going to have to leave some things behind. See, crossing over is choosing some things, but it's refusing some things as well. If we're going to cross the river, we're going to have to leave the wilderness wanderings. If we're going to choose Canaan, we're going to have to leave that crowd of murmurers and complainers. If we're going to choose Canaan, we're going to have to refuse the desire to go back to Egypt or back to this world. If we're going to choose Canaan, we're going to refuse filling all of our time up with little things that don't matter so that we can give our lives to the one thing that truly matters. I want you to know, young person, if you're not ready to refuse the wilderness, you're not ready to choose Canaan. Choosing Canaan means refusing some other things. It means I cannot give my life to certain things because I've got to give my life to God. I have something to cross over. I have battles to face. My heart is given to Christ and Him alone. Let us cross over, Joshua was saying to these people. What is the meaning of crossing the Jordan? It is taking by faith everything that God has for me. The meaning. Let us consider the method for crossing over. Look in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, look what it says in verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and passed there and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. God is speaking, and Joshua is telling the people that there's a method for crossing over the Jordan. There is a way for you to obtain what God wants you to obtain in life. There is a way to give your life to the one thing God puts you on this earth to do. And He's going to give us that method. The first thing He tells them is to keep their eyes on the Lord. Keep their eyes on the Lord. He says, we're going down to Jordan. Now, if you were to go to the Jordan River, you might see nothing but a little muddy puddle today, but that's not how it was for Joshua and his people. It was swelling to overflowing at this particular time of the year. He says, we're going to spread out the people. That's what we read in verse 4. We're going to spread out all the people in such a way, and he goes down and continues in that thought, so that everybody can see the river. And they're going to pass through tribe at a time in the very midst of the river. But before the people get to Jordan, the ark is going before them. Before they get to the river, God will already be there. And when it comes time for you to cross that river, don't look at the river. Look at the Lord. The river will make you fear. Don't look at the river. Don't look at the obstacles you're going to face. Don't look at the pain you'll feel from separating from your friends. Don't look at the price you're going to have to pay. Look at the Lord. You say, the river in my life is big. I want you to know God is bigger. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What river of trouble, tragedy, trial, or temptation is God calling you to cross tonight? We need to get our eyes off the river and put our eyes on the Lord. There will be trouble. There will be pain. There will be breaking of hearts, young people. But get your eyes off that river and get it on the God who goes with you to that river. He says, first of all, keep your eyes on the Lord. He says, secondly, get your feet in the water. Look what he says in verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean unto Jordan. Now I'm sure that as the people came to the Jordan River, and as Joshua told them that God was going to again part waters and do a miracle, that they were expecting it to happen just like it happened at the Red Sea. Remember the story? Moses is bringing the children of Israel out with a high hand of Egypt. He gets to the bank of the Red Sea. He holds forth the rod of God. He says to the people, stand still and see the salvation of our God. The waters immediately part and the people pass through on dry ground. Now, I'm sure the people of God were expecting God to do it like that again, but that's not how he did it. That's because the Red Sea is a picture of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, it's not of men. I do no work for my salvation, it's by grace through faith. I do nothing, God does everything. Crossing the Red Sea is a picture of salvation, but crossing the Jordan River means, remember, this is the victorious Christian life. This is everything God wants me to claim for Him. This is not a picture of salvation. It's a picture of sanctification. And God has a very different method for getting that done. He says, I want you to go down to the river, and you're not just going to stand still. Before I make these waters to gather together upon a heap, I want you to put your foot down in that water. And I'm sure they were thinking, you read it was swelling, right? It was raging like that river we went upon just this week. They said, God, are you sure about this? Can't we just stand still and see it like we saw it before? But God says, before I stop the water, you have to put your foot in it. God is telling us that if we want to cross over in our lives, we have to get our feet wet. This is the faith life. He says, when you put your feet in the water, then I'll come through. You can stand on the bank if you want to. You can go back to the wilderness if you want to. But I'm not moving this river until you put your foot in it. Many of us are waiting for the Lord to give us a Red Sea experience when it comes to the Christian life. Now, if you've been saved and by faith you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, He's done all the work, thank God. But now He wants you to enter into Canaan. He wants you to enter into everything He has for you. And He expects for you to get your foot wet. He expects for you to step out by faith. He expects for you to give your tithe. He expects for you to show up for soul winning. Hey, you show up, God will do the work, but He expects you to show up. He wants you to get your feet wet tonight. We keep waiting for a Red Sea experience, and God keeps waiting for us to put our foot in the water. You've got to get your feet wet. We might sit around and do nothing until the Lord does everything, but that's not how it's going to work in our sanctification. God is waiting for us to put our feet in. And let me tell you something, young person, if you're expecting victory in the Christian life, you'll get it because God gave it to you, just like He gave it to those people. Listen, they didn't do anything much by putting their foot in that water. God parted it. God brought the great victory. But if you're going to win victory in your Christian life, God expects you to do some things. He expects you to show up for church. He expects you to read His Word. He expects you to give 10%. He expects you to pray and seek the souls of men. It's just a little thing. God will do the work. But you got to get your feet wet. This is the method of crossing the river. Are you listening? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Get them off the waves. Get them off the river. Get your eyes on the Lord. And then He says, get your feet in the water. This is the method of crossing over. Lastly, I want you to notice very quickly with me the message in crossing over. Look what He says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord unto God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. These stones are a memorial. He says, I want you to go, and in the very bottom of that river, I want you to pick up 12 stones, one for every tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. A memorial is simply a message that God is trying to deliver. It's an everlasting sermon, if you will, to everyone that passed by those stones. They preach the message that God did something for us in this place that we could not do for ourselves. We had to trust Him. We had to get our feet wet. But when the ark of God went into the river and we passed through on dry ground, we did not know what God can do until He did it. We trusted Him and He did what He said He would do. God is saying, I want to do something in your lives that you cannot do for yourself. I want to give you a level of victory that you could never attain in your own personal effort or according to the power of your flesh. These stones were a memorial for all generations that when God's people get their feet wet, God will work on their behalf. Now this memorial, this first memorial, is a memorial of resurrection. I'll explain that in a moment. But there's another memorial God wants built. He says, not only are you to take 12 out of the bottom of the river and put them up on the banks of the Jordan, but you're also to take 12 and put them in the bottom of the Jordan River. When the waters flow back, it's going to cover up the rocks. No one will ever see them again. He says, you have a memorial on this side that's a memorial like the resurrection. It's the evidence, the proof, the glory of what God did. But He's telling them with this other memorial, this memorial on the bottom of the river, that before there must be a resurrection, there must be a death. There must be a burial. Amen. Jesus said in John 12, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. This is the struggle of crossing over. This is why so many people turn back when they ought to go forward. This is why so many people give in to fear when they ought to give in to faith. Because when they cross that river, when they get their feet wet, they're going to have to die to self. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about my dreams, my desires, my goals, my ambitions for life. From now on, everything is about His conquest, His victory, and His battle. It's what John the Baptist said. He must increase, and I must decrease. This is the struggle. And if you've come, young person, to this brink of this river God has called you to cross over, whether it's a call to preach, whether it's a call to give up some sin, whether it's a call to read God's Word or go out soul winning, you've come to the brink of a river and God wants you to pass over. The only way to pass over it is to die to self. And if you don't pass over it, and if I don't pass over my rivers,
is because we were not willing to eradicate ourselves. We were not willing to put our Savior before ourselves. Are you listening to me tonight? Let us cross over. Whatever river God brought you to this week, young person, cross over it. Moms and dads, perhaps you're looking back over your life and you understand, I was there at some point. I went to camp 1 year. I heard a message one time that greatly convicted my heart. God asked me to pass over, and I went back. I want you to know it's not too late for you to pass over. It's not too late for you to obtain the victorious Christian life. You can have it too. But you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord, and you've got to get your feet wet. That's what he's saying to us tonight. He's saying, let us cross over. I want you to travel back with me to that Jordan River with those people, but not on the eastward side. Will you go with me in your mind to the westward side? Will you go with me to the side of victory? And what does crossing over this river teach us? It teaches us that God won the victory and that we did not win it ourselves. It teaches us that our strength was of the Lord, that it was not of us. Let us cross over tonight, not because we have the power or strength, but because we have our God. You say, I am not able. Good. God is. Let us claim all that God has for us. Let us possess what He has already promised. Let us refuse what we must refuse so we can choose what He wants to choose. Let us cross over. 40 years before, a group of people came to the same river. The same giants, the same opportunity. They went back. And are you listening to me? They died without ever fulfilling what God called them to fulfill. Let us tonight say, wherever I am, whatever river God wants me to pass over, tonight by God's grace at this altar, I'm going over. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would all have the faith to trust you like this. That we would not give in to our fears. That we would not give in to the critics and the murmurers who say it can't be done. Christian young people can't stay pure. They can't dress right. They can't act right. Lord, help us to never give in to that kind of talk. Help us to trust you by faith. Lord, I believe there are some men in here who need to cross over for their family. There's some level of yieldedness that they have not yet come to that they must come to. There are some Christian wives and mothers that need to cross over tonight. There are some people who are going through some great valleys and very deep waters, and they need to be encouraged by the fact that you're already there and that you are passing over with them. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to look at our Jordan River, and tonight, by faith, we would cross over. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray.